Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. It is Baltimore Positive. It is summertime, and Luke Jones is back, and the Orioles are on a winning streak, at least for the time being. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning Friday at Pizza John's in Essex. We'll have the Raven Scratch-Offs. I have the Maryland Treasures. I still have some of these to give away. Also, going to be at Costas next Thursday in Timonium, where Coco's on the 26th of August, setting up dates throughout August. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our partners at GBMC and Farnan & Dermer. They are the comfort guys, and Zach Dermer is going to come on to talk about the lack of comfort. This guy was down at the beach where I'm thinking maybe the air was fresher in Wildwood than it was in Baltimore mid last week. Luke Jones is back from his summer respite, and dude, I'm not the only one. I mean, anybody that knows you and knows me knows that you should go back to Wildwood for another week because you've been gone and the team hasn't lost since you left. You were tough on the Beaver, that Friday before the All-Star game. You're like, show me something. I'm challenging you. Sweep the Royals. Do something. Show me something. They haven't lost since, dude. I mean, you gippered them all up before you left for Wildwood, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, I'm taking offers right now for anyone who wants to send me back to the beach.
How
And
much is the pizza?
it's not too much, but we got our money's worth, that's for sure.
Maybe
But
Bill Cole and Farnan and Dermer come together, put a couple nickels together, send you back,
well, maybe I'll keep it going with Pizza John's, since I'm back in the area,
If we
but.
were Wawa sponsored, I mean, it'd be no problem to send you to New Jersey. You just come
Right,
get us.
right. So, but no, it's been a good week for the Orioles on a lot of fronts. I said it. I didn't shy away from it after the Cubs series where they were able to salvage that final game. That was the last game I covered and really watched from start to end. I was able
Feels
to
like a long
watch.
time ago, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And you get the All-Star break it built in there, so it does feel longer than what it than it
Just want you
actually
to
is in
make your
terms of
vacation
games.
feel like it was a long time, too.
Sure. But yeah, I was able to watch Sunday afternoon's game. I'd listened to Saturday's game, but you've got a team that is playing its best baseball of the year. The pitching continues to lead the way, just as we all expected back in March, right? I mean, my goodness, I've cited this for quite a while now. We're coming up on 2 months. They're third in the majors in ERA since May 22nd. They're fifth in starter ERA since May 22nd, sixth in bullpen ERA since May 22nd, which that's the big one that surprises me. But their pitching's been leading the way. Their pitching has saved the day for them. We've talked about it periodically over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks that if the bats could ever live up to expectations, I mean, that doesn't mean Gunnar Henderson being an MVP candidate, but a better version of Gunnar Henderson and other guys being more consistent and go through the list and not losing Blaze Alexander to a broken hand, which was very unfortunate to end the first half.
Now the Messiah
But
Rutschman thing is back in
so
play
I mean,
again, right?
there's always the next concern peeking around the corner. I mean, that's obvious, and we're going to get to talking about the Boston Red Sox in a moment, but they're playing good baseball and they're doing enough to win games. They're pitching very well. The hitting hasn't been great. The hitting wasn't great in Houston over the weekend, and they struck out 38 times in a three-game series. Normally, you hear that, you're thinking, oh, did they lose 2 out of 3? Did they get
Well, Friday
swept?
night was one of those damn lie statistics games. 13
Crazy.
strikeouts, LOBs, all of that, and they won.
Taylor Ward hits a two-run homer in the eighth, right? So, and look, some of that
Taylor
is just.
Ward, Tyler O'Neill, every night there's a different star. That's the magic of Oriole
Well,
baseball.
how about Cam Sanders? How about Cam Sanders? He gets his
You mean Norfolk's
first.
Cam Sanders that
You know,
night?
he right back at Norfolk, but he gets a W. He had just been acquired earlier in the week. It's the win Friday night, gets the save Saturday, and then gets optioned to Norfolk on Sunday. I mean,
You know, the
that's.
funniest thing is I was listening to the pregame show Sunday. I had a little yoga gig, and I was in the car listening. And by the way, Josh Lewin does a really good job. And no offense to Brett Hollander, but I've been hearing more of Josh lately. And, Josh, a baseball guy. So, but nonetheless, he does a great job. They did an interview with him. And when the interview was over, they're like, well, unfortunately, he's just optioned out. You sat and listened to him 15
Yeah.
minutes about how happy he was to be in the big leagues and all that. They optioned him out. And I'm like, well, that's sort of like the Buck Showalter shuttle, especially if they start winning. If they have a chance, this thing will get real serious about who's up and who's down and who's in the bullpen and who's on the bench. And especially with Which, it won't be the story of the year for me, but it's a story, the injuries, right? As we get to the middle, like, if they're going to be competitive, they better get healthier. The Bisaccia-Rutschman, I mean, like,
Yeah.
seven games in a row, like, you've even said, you could stink and win seven games in a row. The 88 Orioles might have won seven games in a row at one point, right? Like, you could stink and win seven games in a row. For them to be any good, the hitting has to return. Like, I'm not poo-pooing a winning streak. God bless them. I mean, they're back. We canceled this flight to Boston you and I had on Tuesday. We were supposed to go. And now we could have gone to Fenway Park. It's all
Yeah,
your fault.
it's my fault.
It's all your fault. That's I'm
The
happy to
winning,
take.
I'm taking credit for the winning streak, though. I mean, you said it. I said it during the going into the Kansas City series. I said, look, if you want to be talked about in even semi-serious terms post All-Star break, I think you had to get that sweep. You get the 4-game winning streak. You get back to 5 games under 500 at that point in time. And then you see how you come out of the gate, coming out of the All-Star break. And I mean, they couldn't have done it any better. Again, to your point, it wasn't flawless in every area, but they certainly pitched well enough, and the defense came up big at a couple points. And O'Neill's big throw on Saturday, that kind of being the highlight there, and they did just enough with the bats, right? I mean, I'm with you. I do look at the health picture, especially now with Rutschman's dealing with a little bit of a wrist issue. Albernaz didn't indicate that it was overly serious, right? But they brought up Sam Huff, and you need a third catcher on the roster now. And then Basayo's been dealing with the shoulder that you even saw the swing. He kind of grimaced a little bit, and it didn't look great. And they pull him from the game, which, by all means, be cautious in that moment. But yeah, you kind of look at that and say, okay, you've already lost Blaze Alexander. When is he going to be back, right? So you're counting on Kobe Mayo or Christian Encarnacion Strand at third base. What's that going to look like? I mean, it was great to see Mayo hit go the other way for a home run on Sunday, but we've seen what that looks like on an everyday basis, and that doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence. But at the same time, I keep coming back to the pitching, right? And Kramer wasn't very good on Friday night. Command was, you could tell he wasn't at his best, and obviously didn't get through 5 innings. But Trevor Rogers really good, and Brandon Young continuing to do his thing. I mean, the Brandon Young thing's been amazing. I mean, it really has been. It's one thing to pitch well for a month, 6 weeks, 2 months. But this is,
He looks like he belongs, right?
yeah. I mean, he's looking. I was actually, my mom's birthday is on Monday. Happy birthday to her. But we were talking. Oh, we had our family party for her, like where we invited her brother and her sister, and some of my cousins were over and everything. But I actually said it to my cousin, who's a big Orioles fan. I mean, he was the one texting me while I'm on vacation about the game, which is fine. Like, I like getting the updates from him. But I said to him, I said, if Brandon Young isn't careful, he's going to turn into like this iteration of the Orioles version of Chris Tillman, right? Where Tillman never, in contrast to what he was hyped as being when they acquired him once upon a time, along with Adam Jones in that Bedard trade, Tillman was never this dominant pitcher, right? He was never a guy who had these huge strikeout numbers. The velo ended up not really being what they thought it might be when he was in the minors, but he had a 4 or 5 year run where he was just, it wasn't a bona fide ace in a vacuum, but at times he was very much their ace,
Made an
right?
all-star game.
Yeah, and even though I certainly view Bradish as the upside, Bradish is the one, the guy that has the upside to be the one. He's been the one in the past, but Brandon Young has just been so huge for them. And once again on Sunday, I mean, and he actually has gotten a few more strikeouts here over the last several weeks than he was getting earlier in the year. But he's not a guy that's gonna, light up the scoreboard or the box score with punch outs and swing and miss, but he's just doing a really good job, and he's done it for such a long time now where you kind of just look at it and say, well, I don't know if this long term is going to mean he's a number two or a number three, but I'm feeling more and more confident that he's going to be comfortably in that starting five somewhere. And that's just such a massive development for them, because he was not a guy that we talked about in those terms whatsoever. I mean, going into spring training, where was he in the pecking order? Even they had their top six that we talked about. They had Cade Povich. We were talking about Trey Gibson and some of the other guys at Norfolk. And Brandon Young was there, but he was what, eighth or ninth in the pecking order? And he's been right there with Bradish and anyone else as far as being their best starting pitcher. So he's just been huge. I mean, he really has been. And it's been just such a great story. If anyone had said Brandon Young would have the number of starts that he's made to this point in the season, you would have said, oh man, this has gone horribly wrong. And it's not like the season's been great, obviously. And you need a 7-game winning streak just to get back to 2 games under at this point in time. But I mean, he's been one of their most valuable players, like comfortably been one of their most valuable players. So what a story. And it really does speak to what this year has become, as they're at the point now where, hey, it's interesting. They're getting ready to play the two hottest teams in baseball are meeting at Fenway Park this week,
They have made it
but
interesting, haven't they?
they have, and their pitching has done the heaviest lifting. And no one thought that was going to be the case, right? We all thought, all right, they're going to hit. They have Alonso now. Taylor Ward's here. Gunnar's going to be bouncing back. Like Jackson Holliday's another year old. Like you go through all the list of everything on that front, and the it's been underwhelming. That's probably the nicest way I could describe their offense in 2026. It's been underwhelming, but their pitching has, I mean, from mid-May on, late May on, it's been really good. And it's the reason why they've had a chance. I don't know if you want to say kept them afloat, because they needed a 7-game winning streak just to get to where they are now, which is they're back within sniffing distance of 500. We'll see what happens from this point forward. But this weekend series in Houston, just another reminder of just how big the pitching has been. Whether we're talking about, Trevor Rogers doing his thing and getting back on track, or the Brandon Youngs, and even now someone like Cam Sanders, who knows if he'll do anything of real note the rest of the year, but we've seen it. We've seen it over the years, going back to the Buck Showalter era. If you're going to do something where you're in contention for a playoff spot in September, if you're going to have any chance to play games in October, you need those unlikely contributions. And Cam Sanders was the guy over the weekend to do that for the Orioles, getting a win and a save.
Luke Jones is back from Wildwood, and the Orioles haven't lost in a week and a half. I was at the All-Star game last week. Let's see. We got a contract to a pitcher, to a number one since last time we left, and onto the team and onto the field. And we'll talk about Bradish, and we'll talk about my Philadelphia thing and your nieces and Max Pizza and all that. But 500, right? 500. And I don't know whether they'll get a game over. I don't know if they'll get a game over. I mean, this might be the end of their run. They lose 500. Who knows, right? But that part where they can get to 500 by the end of the week, dude, if you and I come here and they get back home, Philadelphia, a week and a half from now, and they're two over, three, if they can be in that range, they have found themselves. They saved their season since you left. Literally, they've saved the season since you left.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, when you continue to look at the wild card race, right? I mean, it's changed from the standpoint of the Boston Red
Yeah,
Sox
them and
have.
Boston are the two teams that are trying to be that team, right?
Yeah, exactly. I
Yeah.
mean, it was you've seen Toronto really fall back. Detroit played really, really well, but they fell so far behind, right? I mean, the Tigers really had a 2025 Orioles kind of start, right? Where they
Or
just
like
kind
the
of buried
Houston Astros a
themselves.
couple years ago, where they buried themselves,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Well, I mean,
Yeah.
and look at Houston right now. I mean, after this sweep that the Orioles handed to the Astros, they were a team that played really well for a month to get themselves back in the picture. But it's a reminder, and this is probably a good lesson for the Orioles where they stand right now. It can still be very fleeting, right? They're going to go to Fenway now. They're going to play a Red Sox team that's won 13 in a row, a team that has pitched better than them, right? Which is
Canceled
saying.
this trip. Whose idea was it to cancel this trip?
It was
All right,
me,
just making sure.
but yeah, I'll own it. It's fine,
The Fenway curse continues.
but you look at this. I mean, whether you're talking about the Red Sox or the Orioles or Seattle or any of these teams, right? I mean, you're one bad week away from circling the drain again. I mean, that's just where it is. But if you can, and doesn't mean you're going to continue to win every single game, but if you can get yourself in a position where you continue this, if you can take two or three. At Fenway, for example, you'll come home this weekend and you're right there. You're game under 500. But you also know that if it goes the other way and you have a couple bad series, then you're back to five, six, seven under, right? I mean, that's how quickly it can unravel. And that's just the reality of when you have a season where you don't get off to a good start, you're behind the eight ball. And that's where for me the injuries are a little more concerning. I mean, you and I haven't had a chance to talk about it much, and it feels like it happened a while ago now, but losing Blaze Alexander really hurts. I mean, we know what kind of surprising bat he had brought to the bottom of the order and hitting over 300 and all of that. So you lose him. Now you're in a position
Well, you
where,
start
okay,
seeing guys at third base, you don't even know their name,
yeah,
right?
I mean it's, look, I love seeing Coby Mayo face left-handers, right? And that we were reminded of that on Sunday. You know, he hits a home run off a lefty. I mean, he's been unbelievable against lefty pitching, but now they're in a position where, unless it's going to be Encarnacion Strawn, Coby Mayo's going to have to play against righties, and he's going to have to do a little more against them. And that's even putting aside the big question about the defense, you know, playing third base every day, and can that hold up and be tenable? You know, can it be palatable? Can it be acceptable? You know, he's not going to be Brooks Robinson, but can it be a situation where you're not an utter liability over there? I mean, that's a question, and that impacts your pitching, right? We've talked about it. I mean, the defense still had its moments over the weekend where you kind of look at it and cringe a little bit, but they also made some plays at times where you say, hey, that helped you win a ball game. So they still have question marks, and this is still very much a flawed team. We know that. But you look at the rest of the American League, I mean, look at the entire wild card picture at this point. Even the Yankees, and you see what they've been over the last couple of weeks. They get news that Aaron Judge is still doesn't sound terribly close to coming back. Their offense has not been very good without him, and that's obviously the headliner, but they have some others in that lineup underperforming. But you go down the list. I mean, you have Cleveland. They've been without their best player for a while now, right? And they're only a few games over 500. Talked about the Red Sox, Seattle, you know, big expectations for them this year. They're a 500 team. So you go down the list. I mean, you can poke holes and point out flaws and deficiencies for all these teams right now, including the Orioles, but you're in a position where if you can keep this going, and it doesn't mean it, you know, that seven in a row has to become 10 in a row or 12 in a row, but can you continue to win and win consistently, especially as we're now inside 2 weeks of the trade deadline, roughly.
You go to Boston, and Rutschman and Basayo are question marks. Blaze Alexander's out. You
That's
know, I mean, you're counting on the pitching, right? Like,
sure.
the pitching is going to have to be this good
Yeah,
because the bats aren't going to be. You know, I'm not thinking Tyler O'Neill's coming to life, but I'm thinking like Gunnar Henderson might,
I mean,
right?
I will continue to say if this team is going to earn a wild card spot, they're going to need a better version of Gunnar Henderson. Forget about the MVP. I mean, he's not going to be in the MVP conversation. He hasn't been anything close to that. He's been a way more of a league average
I'm
player,
going to get a hit
but
tonight and not strike out. Hit
right.
tomorrow and not strike
I mean,
out.
hey,
Put the ball in play.
he went the other way on Sunday to drive in a run. That was good to see. He stole home on the back end of a double steal with Pete Alonso of all people. So he's some good contributions there. Every time he gets a hit, every time he has a good game, you're hoping that's the start. You're hoping that's the start. I mean, how many different times have we said that? I know I've asked him about it after a couple games over the last
Well,
couple
2 years
months.
ago, he looked like the natural, right?
Right. So, but when you look at this offense in its totality, that's still, for me, that's still the missing link there, where this offense is going to, be good enough in concert with the pitching and every other element of the game. I'm still waiting for Gunnar Henderson, a better version of him. I mean, it just, and let's face it, Friday and Saturday, he looked horrible at the plate. I mean, it wasn't just, oh, he's scuffling. He looked terrible. I mean, I think Palmer even said at a couple different points, and I know I listened to Saturday's game. They even noted a couple times where, I mean, he swung right through some hittable
Yeah, a
pitches,
couple
and
days off didn't do him any good.
well, I guess what there was a story. He stayed with Colton Cowser, and they were working out on Wednesday or Thursday, something like that, and they ran out of gas. I mean, man, if that wasn't a, like a an ominous sign of what kind of year he's had, but. But
Colton Cowser seems like a good guy to hang out with for a couple days.
he is
I think
he
I'd have fun with Colton
yeah
Cowser.
yeah well but He's also cooled off dramatically at the plate from where he was about a month ago. So, I mean, look, there's a reason they have
They're
earned.
not a good team that has won
They've
seven in a row.
right. They have earned, even after a 7-game winning streak, saying they're a sub-500 team. However, they've done enough work to this point and winning 10 of their last 13, 7 in a row, 2 straight sweeps. Got now go to Boston, and boy, if you're talking about the eyeball test, the litmus test, whatever you want to call it, I mean, this Red Sox team is absolutely on fire. You know, it's not often when you say you've won 7 in a row and then you're going to go somewhere and play a team that has a winning streak nearly twice as long as yours. So, hey, go win 2 or 3, right? I mean, if you want to be taken seriously as the kind of team that is going to be in this and the kind of team where Mike Elias should be looking to add and not subtract, go win 2 of 3. And you know, that's not unreasonable. And I would hope these guys wouldn't be thinking that that's an unreasonable ask, right? I'm not asking for a sweep here. Win 2 out of 3 against a team that's red hot, a team that's hotter than you right now. And if you do that, you'll be hotter than that team and you'll be coming home and feeling good, albeit getting ready to play the Braves, right? I mean, there's no real break here. I mean, even you kind of look at the upcoming schedule. I mean, Boston, Atlanta, Detroit is kind of sort of trying to hang in it. I don't think it's going to happen for them. And then you have the Phillies coming to town after that, and then you're at the trade deadline. So, you know, I mean, this goes back to what I said before that KC series. If you wanted us to talk in any kind of terms other than, are you trading Taylor Ward? Are you trading Trevor Rogers? Are you trading Yennier Cano? Right? Then you need to go on a run here. Well, they've done that, but they've got to keep it going, right? They had a nice run back in late May and early June, and then they fell back again. They can't fall back again. Like, this has to be like, okay, you're 2 under .500. Can you get to 1 under .500 by the end of this series? Can you come home and take 2 out of 3 there? If you are, you're at 500, and now you're at the week of the trade deadline. And so that's how it works. But they needed something like this, right? They had kind of gotten to the point where they had run out of time to just do the slow and steady wins the race like the tortoise, right? I mean, they needed to rip off 7 in a row or something of the along those lines, and they've done it. So now let's see what they do from that point forward. So I'm all for it. It's much more interesting than just saying, well, who are they trading at the deadline, right? So they've at least put off that talk, at least for the time being. Like I said, it can be fleeting. They have to keep it going, and certainly they need to get the best version of Shane Baz and Kyle Bradish in these first 2 games against the Red Sox, and you know, try to come away with a series win against a team that's playing out of their minds of late in the Boston Red Sox.
A good week last week. He was in Wildwood, New Jersey. The Orioles had a good week. They didn't lose. Not as good a week as Spain has had here this week. Certainly a better week than like England or some others. He's Luke Jones. He's Baltimore Luke. You follow our Oriole coverage out of line. If you're on our WNSD tech service, you get breaking news first, especially when Luke runs it and isn't on vacation and Kyle Bradish isn't signing 5-year deals in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. Red Sox first up at Fenway. We were headed on that trip. Not headed on that trip now. Headed back. Orioles home this weekend against the Braves. And then I was in Philadelphia last week for the All-Star game. I'm going to get Micah Buchdahl on this week. Some of my pals that were at the game, I ran into Ken Rosenthal. I ran into Tom Verducci. Buster Olney's coming on the show next week. So, I went up Timmy Kurkjian. I saw him and his boy. So, we have a good time in Philly. I'm going to do a whole segment on the All-Star game and my travels and travails and Todd Radom and all that. But the Phillies come here next week. I guess your brother-in-law will be coming down for that. And you know, all the bubble peas and all that stuff. But these next couple of series, good teams. Tigers next week. You mentioned, they were at the Cellar or whatever. But next couple series, this is. It's astonishing they could turn their season around, right? Like not that we've given up on for them on dad or that Mike Elias should be fired and I've written that and you've been frustrated and I've been frustrated and they've been frustrated and the fans aren't coming either way. I don't think everybody's running down and buying tickets for the games this weekend. Maybe if they win 3 in a row against Boston and they have a 10-game winning streak here, maybe it'll be like fantastic fans night and they'll get 500 extra people out or whatever. But there is a point where like the time you've spent on them in April and May, you now sit back up after the All-Star game, after watching World Cup every day, which I did for a month and I swore I wouldn't. I didn't watch the first 2 weeks, by the way, of
I
the
know
World
you
Cup.
didn't. Yeah.
And I wound up every day. I mean, I was in a bar in Richmond on Wednesday watching Argentina and England. And you know, I love the game. I mean, you've known me long enough to know, like, I didn't play it. I don't run around, but I do like soccer. It's good for me because the premiership being on at 10 in the morning on Saturdays and all these people to get drunk or Saturday morning, they started at breakfast and all that. I'm not hooked on it in that way. You know what I mean? Like, but I could be. It'd be very easy for me to just give up, I don't know, hockey, which I've already done, and decide I'm going to learn the premiership and the history of Chelsea, and I'm going to be a Man U supporter. Because the games are available and the league matches are every bit as good as the World Cup if you're into it. But I'm done with soccer. Don't tell Kenny Cooper, who was on the show the other day. I'm back on baseball. But the notion that you could get back into the soap opera here and that you haven't watched them in a week or two, your family, and you come back and they're relevant again and you dive in. I don't want to say that's something I wasn't prepared for a couple of weeks ago, but there is the little boy in me that's sort of like, they might really win. Hey, we got to watch them now. You know, it does feel like that they're in the race again and that what's going to take them out of it? It's not going to because the Yankees won too many games. I mean, there or any of these teams are going to win too many games. It does feel like, you know, a decent week. Wake me after the Philly series, like August 2nd. You know, that's going to be trading deadline time there. We're now up on a, they're not going to sell, right? I mean, where they are. They've played their way into being buyers. And, you know, the Bradish signing, we're going to do a long dive on that. But in a general sense, they've moved back into some semblance of relevancy. If you have tickets next weekend, you feel like, well, you know, at least they're not 12 games under 500 the way it was trending.
Yeah, I mean, short of them losing their next seven in a row, which, hey, it's baseball. I mean, we talked about this with the Cubs a couple weeks ago. Look
Yeah,
at
you're
some of
home now.
well, you're right, exactly. I mean, I'll
Oh.
take all blame for it when they get swept at Fenway or something like that. But no, I mean, it's this is the reality of when you have three wild cards and you have an American League that's just not very good in general. I mean, even you know, with no disrespect to the Rays and kind of going through the division leaders. I mean, you're still not, you know, I mean, even the Rays, I mean, they've got a 571 winning percentage.
Let's be honest, dude. If the Orioles sneak into this thing as the last of the last of the last and have to win a game or two or three, and they got to beat Tampa to do it, I mean, the White Sox, the Rangers, they're not, these aren't teams in a different scope or a different league. They're all in the same league, mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you look at and that's not me like singing the Orioles praises big time here. It's just talking about everyone else. I mean, you look at Tampa right now, they're the best team in the American League. They're on pace to win what, 92 games?
570
You
ball.
know what I mean? Like, that's a really good season, but when that's the best in the American League, when that's the when you're talking about having home field advantage on that side of the bracket in the MLB playoffs, I mean, that's not that you're not you shouldn't be afraid of that, right? And obviously I'm saying that stating the obvious as the Rays are in the midst of a five game losing streak, right? I mean, there you go. Even the best team in the league is sputtering at this point in
Dude,
time.
82 wins might
So
win the West.
yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Texas has played Texas and Houston both had a nice run where they got themselves more comfortably in the wild card race at one point. And obviously Texas is leading the division at this point as they're, you know, what, a half game up on Seattle. But the, even those teams the last week or two have started to really tread water at best and in Houston's case fall back. So that's just like it's really a war of attrition. And that's where I think you bringing up the injuries is so relevant beyond the guys they've already lost, right? And Helsley got pushed to the 60-day IL on Sunday. My assumption is he's not going to pitch the rest of the year, right? If he does, it's going to be in September, and who knows what you're going to get, right? You would almost put him in the same category as Felix Bautista at this point, where, you know, Bautista has been throwing. They've said all along he's got a chance to pitch at the very end of the season. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm rooting for it to happen, but especially for Bautista, everything he's been
But it's
through the
not going to
last few
change the
years.
way that I trade next week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Yeah.
and that's a big thing. I mean, look. Their rotation right now, Don't get me wrong. If there's a starting pitcher you can go out and get, by all means, go get him. Like, especially if it's someone who's controllable for another year or two. By all means, I'd be all in on something like that. But I look at a third baseman, another outfield bat. But I really look at the bullpen, and I say that even acknowledging statistically, this bullpen has exceeded my expectations, even with the injuries that they've had and scuffles that they've had with certain individuals. But man, if we're talking about sizing up this wild card race, and if the Orioles are going to be in it and give themselves the best possible chance, they need, I would say, even two higher end bullpen arms, at least one. I mean, you need at least one that is someone that can close games, pitch the eighth inning, pitch the ninth inning, pitch the 10th inning of a tie game, whatever, whoever fits that description. I'd really feel a lot better about this bullpen if you could get two guys like that. Now, problem is, just about every other team is saying similar. So,
Well, we're going to do segment after segment about how aggressive they should be next week, right?
well, and look, I
And
mean,
how they play this week will dictate how aggressive
that's
they're
going to
going
be
to be
part of
next
it,
week.
right? I mean, look, I'm not suggesting that it could turn into a fire sale, but if you really scuffle then after a 7-game winning streak and then you lose 7 of your next 10, then you're kind of looking at it and saying, well, how real is it? And keep in mind, we've also talked about this. I mean, you and I've talked about the trade deadline a lot over the last 5 weeks, in terms of buying, selling. And at a few different points, I think both of us have noted just maybe you just kind of stand pat, right? Maybe you don't do a whole lot. And maybe that's the way you
Well, if
go.
they were to sweep the Red Sox, they would be in the playoff race, right? Like if they sweep the, like depending on what the Mariners do, I guess. But they're two games
But
back.
they're right there, right? I
So
mean, even,
like the whole
yeah.
notion that
And
they
they have passed a couple teams, and that to me is key. Like when you say 2 games out, but you have five teams in front of you,
Well, the Blue Jays are behind them now.
right? And
Right.
I didn't even
First
mention
and
them. I mean,
foremost.
the Blue Jays have really fallen off, right? So I mean, that's the thing. But who knows, right? I mean, we're ready to anoint certain teams, and then they fall back, and then we're ready to say, okay, well, this is the new flavor of the month. I mean, the Red Sox right now. I mean, people are talking about the Red Sox. Who knows? Maybe they might win the division the way they're going right now,
Yeah, we're not
and
in
the
the
way Tampa.
prediction business. We're in the watch the games tonight business. And right
Exactly.
now,
They're
the
there.
Orioles have put
They're right
themselves in a
there.
position where the game's important, and I'll be watching it. I hope it's not on Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I will gladly take this over the alternative of where they were a year ago at this time, which was definitively a seller and no chance. And then it was just a matter of who exactly you're going to trade off. I mean, there's no fun in that, right? I mean, it's not fun. No one enjoys that. Guys on the radio don't enjoy that, contrary to what some fans might think from time to time. But
I do know this much. The football team's going to take the field next week, and you're going to be there one way or
yeah,
another.
I will be there, and I'm believe me, I will embrace a very busy August if it means very meaningful baseball and juggling that with being out in Owings Mills. It's good for business. That's good for interest. That's good for fan enthusiasm
Luke, I'm
and
not
all
in the
that.
media anymore. Do all the players answer questions the way Adley Rutschman did to me last week? It was so human. It was so much fun. He looked at me like I was an alien. You can go watch the video if you wish. That was the weirdest three questions I've asked in my life. So nonetheless, they're back in. And I tell you, I mean, I wish we had gone to Boston, although I don't have the energy to get out of bed at 5 in the
I was
morning
gonna
and have to go to
say
Boston.
I would have been a zombie. I
Let
mean,
me, really? So you're happy we canceled the Boston trip? Seriously?
I'm not happy from the context of it's the two hottest teams in baseball playing over these next couple of days, but dude, my nieces are 5 and 2, and they're asking
And
Uncle
Uncle
Luke to
Luke's out of
play
breath.
nonstop, right? And it was wonderful. I mean, my heart is full. It was a wonderful
Don't
vacation,
they go to bed at
but
like 8 o'clock?
not on vacation. I mean,
You're not supposed to tell them they're on vacation. They're kids. Tell them to go to bed.
they knew we were on vacation, but
Yeah.
no,
Uncle Nestor's a softie too, so don't you don't have
we
to.
had a ball, and look, there wasn't a whole lot of Uncle Luke You better check the Orioles score. You know, it
Look,
was
I'm looking
more
at the Boston chance of precipitation at night on two. Terrible. We didn't want to go on this trip.
on
It's going to rain
Tuesday
on
it
Tuesday
was.
night.
Oh, wow, that changes things big time, because that was the night we were going to be there.
Yeah,
So,
so.
okay, I feel better about that. But
I
hey,
feel better about your nieces
I'm
running you wild, making you feel young again.
yeah, and you know what? Like I said, I followed it from afar, and it's good to see the team not just win four in a row, but seven in a row now, and they're back in it. And let's see what happens, right? I'm not crowning them, and I'm also not burying them. They're 2 games under 500. Mathematically, they're right there with all these other flawed, mediocre teams. And let's see what happens. Can you turn a 7-game winning streak into playing really good baseball for 2 weeks, and then 3 weeks, and then 4 weeks? And you do that, they're going to have a heck of a chance to have a chance to pull this off, right? And to be there. And if they can get there, then we already know, like, the wild card round, it's best of three, right? I mean, you can lay it all out, but it only works if you keep winning. I mean, it's just that, like, Captain Obvious, right? You know, I could work for the Elias Sports Bureau with that hot take, but but they've done what they've needed to do to get back within striking distance of 500, and now business picks up. You're playing a much better baseball team at the moment than the Houston Astros or the Kansas City Royals. So let's see how they stack up with the Red Sox, who have looked incredible for the last 2.5 weeks.
The Elias Sports Bureau. I haven't heard that one in a while.
I
Maybe
know,
Mike
right?
Elias was part of that.
Yeah.
I will have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away on Friday at Pizza John's in Essex. Luke, I don't know if you know this or not, but my mall is being shuttered over at East Point Mall. We're doing a gathering over at the mall at 5 o'clock on Friday after we get together. Anybody's a mall rat. I'm the king of Colgate. John Allen's the king of Eastwood. We got to find somebody from Berkshire to come over there and get some hoodlum action together. We'll look for the York Steakhouse and the Hallmark store, and maybe I can go back to. You know, my kid didn't even know that I worked at Sound Waves at East Point Mall the week he was born in 1984. Probably the week you were born in 1983 too. So I'm going to show him where Sound Waves was in the mall and the Harmony Hut, where I got my first CD back in 1984. Might even walk past Hoshel Cones. That's going to be on Friday. We're going to be at Costas Friday night in Dundalk. We're going to be at Costas and Timonium doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and GBMC and Farnan and Dermer. They are the comfort guys. We will comfortably be in Timonium on the 30th. That is next Thursday. And I am comfortably going to be in New York City seeing Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson, and Annika Nealis kill it with some Rush music next week as well. So big stuff going on around here. Orioles home this weekend against the Braves. Then they go to Detroit, like home, away, Philadelphia next weekend. All sorts of things happen around here. Any breaking news happens first on the WNST Tech Service. It is all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. And yes, Ravens camp opens the middle of next week. Luke will be there. I got great guests coming on the show. I have Philadelphia stories. The Orioles signed Kyle Bradish. We're going to talk at length about that. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're back on the grid. So are the Orioles. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.